Translation prepared by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Jai Shri Shri Radha Gokulananda, Shri Shri Sitaram Lakshman Hanuman, Shri Shri Gaunitai Ki Jai. Things that are very difficult to do become easy to execute if one somehow or other simply remembers Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. But if one does not remember him, even easy things become very difficult. To this, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, I offer my respectful obeisances. Purport. In his book Chaitanya Chandramrita, Srila Prabhupada Saraswati says, one who receives a little favor from the Lord becomes so exalted that he does not care even for liberation, which is sought after by many great scholars and philosophers. Similarly, a devotee of Lord Chaitanya considers residence in the heavenly planets a will of the wisp. He surpasses the perfection of mystic yoga power because for him the senses are like snakes with broken fangs. A snake is a very fearful and dangerous animal because of his poison fangs, but if these fangs are broken, the appearance of a snake is no cause for fear. The yoga principles are meant to control the senses, but there is no scope for the senses if one engages in the service of the Lord to be dangerous like snakes. These are the gifts of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. The Hari Bhakti Vilas confirms that difficult things become easy to understand if one remembers Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and easy things become very difficult to understand if one forgets him. We actually see that even those who are very great scientists in the eyes of the general public cannot understand the very simple idea that life comes from life because they do not have the mercy of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. They defend the false understanding that life comes from matter, although they cannot prove this is a fact. Modern civilization, therefore progressing on the basis of this false scientific theory, is simply creating problems to be solved by the so-called scientists. It's already happened, right? Environmental crisis, which is the direct result of so-called scientific advancement, became so acute nowadays that all the government heads on the United Nations level, they're breaking their heads trying to understand how to sort it out now. So we can see that it is so true what Prabhupada says. The author of Chaitanya Charitamrita takes shelter of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to describe the pastimes of his appearance as a child because one cannot write such transcendental literature by mental speculation. One who writes about the Supreme Personality of Godhead must be especially favored by the Lord. Simply by academic qualifications, it is not possible to write such literature. Kathanchana smrite yasmin Dushkaram Sukaram Bhavet Vismrite Viparitam Syat Sri Chaitanyam Namamitam. Things that are very difficult to do become very easy to execute if one somehow or other simply remembers Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. But if one does not remember him, even easy things become very difficult. To this Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, I offer my respectful obeisances. So this is Krishna's arrangement, very appropriate verse, connected to the life of such a great acharya as Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, because his whole life is the proof that just by the mercy of Lord Chaitanya, by meditating on Lord Chaitanya, impossible things become possible. He was easily doing things which are incomprehensible, at least for most of us. And so the lives of such great acharyas are the examples, the example how the statements of shastras are true. And so we know that Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati is the son of another great acharya, Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur. And he appeared in the holy place, Jagannath Puri, on the February 6th of 1874. And we know that Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he was very concerned about the mission of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He took up and he was very worried who will continue the mission. And he was praying to Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to send him someone from his own camp, from his own, one of his personal associates, because he recognized that this kind of work could be only undertaken by someone coming directly from the spiritual world. And so we know that Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur appeared in this world as an answer to his prayer. And actually, at the time, Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur, as we know, he was the government authority who controlled all the activities of Jagannath Mandir. And he was in charge of Jagannath Temple. And he lived nearby the Jagannath Temple. Those of you who've been to Puri, you know that his house is few steps away from Jagannath Temple. And so, as we were mentioning, on the February 6th of 1874, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati, future Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, took birth at 3:30 p.m. So, Bhaktivinoda Thakur and his wife's name is Bhagavati Devi. He was the fourth son. Total, Bhaktivinoda Thakur had 10 children, very large family. And this boy had very beautiful body from the start, with all 32 symptoms of Mahapurusha, great personality. That some of those symptoms are described in Nectar of Devotion. You can read it on. And actually, these symptoms were visible in the body of the Supreme Lord himself. And so, it is very interesting that those great devotees, they resemble some bodily features of the Supreme Lord. And so, same like Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, we know that Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati was very tall and very beautiful. Actually, if you see his pictures, that amongst Bengalis, normally Bengalis are not very tall. And so Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati was standing out amidst that crowd of Bengalis. It was so obvious that he didn't belong to this world, even for a layman, for anyone. And so, as it was mentioned this morning, that's why when Srila Prabhupada was requested to tell something about the glories of his Guru Maharaj, he was just saying, what can I say? He was a Vaikuntha man. So, and actually, even the family lineage of both Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur and Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati is extremely special. Guess which family lineage he came from? He was the 11th descendant of Raja Krishnananda Datta, who was the father of Narottam Das Thakur. So that's the family Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati came from. And so at his birth, everyone was amazed that even his umbilical cord was wrapped around his body as a Brahman thread. So this was an indication that this is a very special child. And then, of course, as it is traditional, and you know, same thing was done for Srila Prabhupada, the astrologer was called to see the child's chart. And the astrologer said, the child will be a brilliant preacher and will be spreading the teachings of the ultimate goal of life. And so then the Namakarana ceremony was performed, giving the name to the child, and he was called Bimal Prasad Datta. Bimal Prasad Datta is, of course, given, right? And Bimal Prasad, Bimala Devi, or Bimala, as they say in Bengal, that V and B are interchangeable. And so Bimala or Bimala Devi is the deity in Jagannath Mandir, whom some people perceive as Durga Devi, but Vaishnavas, they know that she is Yoga Maya. And actually, she is the first to take Jagannath's prasad after the food is offered to Lord Jagannath. Then she is partaking the prasadam, and then this prasad becomes Mahaprasad, because Mahaprasad means the food not only taken by the Lord himself, but also taken by his great devotees. And so Bimala Devi is accepting Jagannath's prasad, and after that it becomes Mahaprasad. And so the child was called Bimala Prasad, the mercy of Bimala Devi, which was very appropriate name for him, because he came as the representative of Lord's internal potency, and he was definitely endowed by that potency, as we will read on and understand. So he was 6 months old when Jagannath Ratha Yatra festival happened, and so, as some of you know, the cart is going along the grand road, and the house was situated on the grand road. And when, actually it's very close, that Ratha Yatra just started, and when Jagannath's cart came to the house of Bhaktivinod Thakur and Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati, it just stand still and didn't move anywhere. For 3 days, the cart couldn't move, because Jagannath just wanted to be near his beloved devotee. And so, of course, Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur and his wife and the child, they all came to get the Lord's darshan and his mercy. And of course, they were allowed right on the cart, because Bhaktivinoda Thakur had such a prominent position. And then Bimala Devi actually offered the child at the feet of Lord Jagannath, placed him under Lord Jagannath. And immediately one of the garlands of Lord Jagannath just fell on the child and wrapped around his body. And so everyone was ecstatic upon seeing that. And Bhaktivinoda Thakur organized 24-hour kirtan, which was going on for 3 days next to the cart. And so, then they just used the opportunity to perform Anaprasana ceremony right there and then. Anaprasana means the first grain feeding ceremony, so they just took Mahaprasad from Jagannath and gave it to little Bimal Prasad. And then they were performing another samskara to find out what his inclinations are. And so different items were placed around the child. And immediately the child crawled to Srimad Bhagavatam, grabbed it very tightly and pressed it to his chest. They even had difficulty to take it away from him. Very attached to Srimad Bhagavatam. And so this was very clear indication of his nature. And Bhaktivinoda Thakur had, after that, Bhaktivinoda Thakur had no doubt that his prayers were answered. And we know there are so many stories from the childhood pastimes of Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Thakur which were an indication of his greatness. And one story is very well known. Srila Prabhupada tells it how little Bimal Prasad took a mango to eat and ate it, but the mango was not offered. And he didn't know about it, but Bhaktivinoda Thakur told him that, my dear son, actually this mango was not offered, so please, next time when you take something and eat, make sure that it is offered, because we're supposed to take only prasadam. We're not supposed to take bhoga. He was not meant to be heavy with the child because he was very small. He was only 4 or 5 years old. But Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati took it so seriously that he said, because I offended the Lord by eating his mango, I vow to never take mango in my life anymore. And so he followed that vow till the end of his life. And every time someone was offering him very ripe and delicious mangoes, he would hang his head in humility and he would say, no, I am an offender. I cannot take those mangoes. So this is how seriously he was, taking his relationship with the Lord. And as it was mentioned also, that when he was only 7 years of age, he memorized the entire Bhagavad Gita. But because he had photographic memory. And not only that, but he could explain Bhagavad Gita. He could give classes at 7 years of age. He could explain every philosophical point in Bhagavad Gita, which was, of course, as an astonishment for the adults, because, this kind of things are not normally happening. 7 years old child giving discourses on Bhagavad Gita perfectly according to Siddhanta. And at that time also Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur was building a house, and when they were digging earth to lay the foundation, they found a deity of Kurma, and he gave this deity to little Bimal Prasad, and along with the mantra to worship this deity. Actually, this deity can still be seen at Yoga Pit. And Bhaktivinoda Thakur was giving classes regularly, and Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati's future Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati. Bimal Prasad was attending those classes and he was just focused completely on hearing the class, and Bhaktivinoda Thakur was very amazed that such a young child, he's just absorbed in Vaishnava philosophy. And when he was 11 years of age, he invented a type of shorthand called Bikanta, which is still used today. And all his teachers were completely amazed by his intelligence, memory, moral character, and especially his devotion. He was excelling in both math and astrology. And he got the name from his tutors, Siddhanta Saraswati, because he was so perfect. And he had perfect knowledge of everything and perfect memory. But instead of studying school books, he was studying the books written by Narottam Das Thakur and Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur. And when he was young, very much like Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, his favorite activity was to be engaged in debates with different scholars. And not a single time he faced defeat. He was defeating everybody. There was very great scholar and pandit at the time, and his name was Panchana Sahitacharya. And he challenged him for a debate, and he completely smashed him, to the great embarrassment of that scholar. And he was not even 13 at the time. And so when he turned 13, Bhaktivinoda Thakur brought back from a visit to Puri a set of tulsi pits and gave him Harinam initiation and Narasingha mantra. And around the same time, Bhaktivinoda Thakur set up his first printing press, and Bimal Prasad took great interest in the printing press. As we know, printing and distributing books became one of his main preaching activity later on. And Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur went for pilgrimage, and he took Bimal Prasad along with him. And when he turned 16, he organized a group of friends, and he called it August Assembly, Raja Sabha. And they were discussing philosophy, spiritual philosophy, and the main rule for membership in this group was lifelong celibacy. But Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati was the only one who followed that rule. No one else could do that. And at that time, he already wrote two books on the science of astrology, which are still famous today. And when he turned 18 years old, he was admitted into the Sanskrit college in Calcutta. And even though he didn't bother to dedicate much time to studies, he just went into the library and he read all the books in the library. And at 21 years old, he was encouraged to continue his academic pursuit. All his teachers and superiors wanted him to continue studying, but he said that my life is not meant for academic career. My life is meant for the promotion of teachings of Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And so he thought, if I will keep studying, they will put a lot of pressure on me to enter into a family life. Jai Shila. Jai Shri Shri Radha Gokulananda. Shri Shri Sitaram Lakshman Hanuman. Shri Shri Gaur Nitai Ki Jai. And so he thought, let me drop out so that they think that I'm incompetent, and so they will leave me alone. So he dropped his studies, dropped out of the college. It's interesting. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati, the first college dropout, and yet such a brilliant scholar. And when he was 23 years old, he was encouraged by Jagannath Das Babaji to write Navadvip Panjika. This is the Vaishnava calendar with all the dates and months marked by Krishna's names. And when he turned 21, actually the king of Tripura requested him to help him with the his services. And so while serving the king, he served the king from the age of 21 to the age of 31. And basically, while he was in the palace, he studied all the books in royal library, and then he trained all the king's sons perfectly in Bengal and Sanskrit. And at the king's request, he stopped all the cheating that was going on with the royal treasury as well. And so that also helped him to understand how corrupt the government activities are. And so he, at the age of 31, he retired from that king's services. But still the king continued paying him pension till he turned 34. And when he became 23, he performed his first Chaturmasya. Very strictly, he followed every single rule of this. And Bhaktivinoda Thakur, by that time, built his home in Navadvip, in Gondrum. And we know the story how he discovered Yogapit, the appearance place of Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, with the help of Jagannath Das Babaji. And then at the time, the great saint Srila Gaur Kishore Das Babaji appeared. He came from Vrindavan. He moved to Navadvip. And he was very famous for his austerities and for his devotion, and especially for his humility. And Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati saw Gaur Kishore Das Babaji for the first time when he was 26. And before that, he saw many gurus, and they were all chasing after him, trying to convince him to become their disciple. Because they knew if they will get this boy, they will become very famous. Because Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati is so powerful. But of course, he could very clearly see through them. And he had no interest. But when he saw Gaur Kishore Das Babaji, he was really impressed with his renunciation. All Gaur Kishore Das Babaji had in his possession was a few puja paraphernalias, a few puja items, a tiger skin cap, which was given to him by his guru, Bhagavad Das Babaji, and few pieces of rope with knots for chanting the Hare Krishna mantra, and a tilak stamp with Hare Krishna mantra in Bengali language. And so he also had two sets of mala, one for the neck and one for chanting, and two books by Narottam Das Thakur, Prarthana and Prem Bhakti Chandrika. That was it. That was all he had. And he gave all this to Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. And so when Srila Bhaktisiddhanta was 26, he was asking Gaurakishore Das Babaji to give him initiation. And many of you know how Gaurakishore Babaji said, okay, but I have to ask Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu first. And then next time Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati came to him, he said, have you asked him? He said, well, you know, I saw him, but I forgot to ask. I'll ask next time. So next time Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati asked him, so anything's happening? Did you ask Lord Chaitanya? He said, yes, I asked him, but for some reason he kept quiet. He didn't answer. But I'll ask again. And so after the third time, the same thing happened. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati became so upset. He said, you are as crooked as your master, Sri Krishna. And if you don't give me initiation, I have no reason to live. I'll finish my life. And he had tears in his eyes. And so Gaurakishore Das Babaji had to agree. And so he said, okay, let's go to the Ganga, take bath, and I'll initiate you. And he gave him at the initiation the name Sri Barshabhanavi Devi Daitya Das, the servant of Srimati Radharani. And so, as we know, he was the only disciple of Srila Gaurakishore Das Babaji in exactly the same way as Narottam Das Thakur was the only disciple of Lokanath Goswami. It's very interesting. Many parallels with the life of Narottam Das Thakur and coming from the same family lineage. And so, at the time, he moved to Jagannath Puri, returned to Jagannath Puri, and he decided to start his mission there. And Bhaktivinoda Thakur established his Bhajan Kutir in Jagannath Puri, and Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati started lecturing on Chaitanya Charitamrita while in Jagannath Puri, and many people were attending his classes. He became a very powerful preacher. And he traveled with his father to Kashi, Gaya, and Prayag. And so he was sharing his realizations, explaining Chaitanya Charitamrita. At the time in Jagannath Puri was a very prominent sadhu, Radharaman Charan Das Babaji. And so he was attending Srila Bhaktisiddhanta's lecture in Puri. And Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati opposed him on 2 points. One is that this mantra, Bhajan Nitaigo Radhishyam, Japa Hare Krishna Hare Rama, is a concocted mantra and one should not chant it. And opposing his conclusions on philosophical conclusions, he considered them to be rasa basa, the incompatible opposing rasas. And also he opposed to the idea of dressing like a gopi. Saki Beki, that was the idea. And so Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati was a very powerful preacher, and Radharaman Charan was also a very powerful preacher. And so actually they split the whole Puri community, Vaishnava community, into two camps. And they were fighting like that. And he actually defeated Radharaman Charan. That he was with his followers, he was chasing away Radharaman Charan's followers. Whenever they would come out with their kirtan, he would send his followers, and with whompers they would, you know, like create a lot of noise and stop them. And sometimes, you know, Radharaman Charan would dance and in the street and would like have tears in the eyes and fall on the ground, and Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati would come to him and would tell him, you know, he's kind of lying down in absorbed in ecstatic emotion, and Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati would come to him and tell, come on, stop doing that, you're doing it for money. And Radharaman Charan would become very upset, stop his ecstasy and run away. Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati could see through what was going on. And so by these activities, by his very powerful preaching in Puri, he earned himself a title, Simha Guru, the Lion Guru. But somehow, Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur was not really in favor of this split. And so he told him, maybe you should go to Navadvip and start your preaching there. But when he was in Puri, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati, when he was around 26 or 27 years old, he wrote and published Vaishnava Encyclopedia. And the scholars and pundits who appreciated this work said that even 25 or 30 men using the entire king's treasury could not edit this work and publish it. Also, during the same time, he toured South India and collected details from Ramanuja Sampradaya, used their method, and learned about the order of sannyas. And then after his father suggested that maybe he should move from Puri to Navadvipa, so that there is no clash between him and this Babaji. And so when he came to Navadvipa, he felt, what can I do in here? I should preach, but in order to preach properly, I have to get the Lord's mercy. And so how one can get the Lord's mercy for preaching and for serving? By chanting. And so he decided to follow in the footsteps of Haridas Thakur and to chant 300 names or 192 rounds every day. I don't know if any of you had this experience ever, but it takes full day. No eating, no sleeping, practically speaking. And if you're a little slow, you won't fit into 24 hours. And it's pretty hard, you know, because when you chant for so long, it slows down. And so this is something which is impossible for any conditioned soul to do. But Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati chanted 192 rounds every single day for 9 years straight in Navadvip. And he lived because he gave a vow that he will chant 1 billion names. And so he made a calculation. And so he figured out that in 9 years he will cover 1 billion names. And so he did that. He completed that vow. And he was living in a very austere conditions. Ate Chaturmasya style prasadam off the floor, slept on the floor, lived in a thatched hut, and when the roof leaked, instead of repairing the roof, he would just open the umbrella and chant under the umbrella. Like that. And Gaura Kishore Das Babaji was very impressed by his determination, and he said, "I see the kind of renunciation of Rupa and Raghunath in my Prabhu." He was calling his disciple Prabhu because he recognized his glories. Mm. And so, then, of course, there are many more details. We cannot mention them all. If somebody wants to know more, there is a very exciting biography, one of many biographies, but probably one of the most comprehensive ones, which is Bhaktisiddhanta Vaibhav, written by Bhakti Vikas Maharaj. He worked on that for many, many years. So all the details are described in there. By the way, today we are fasting for Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati's disappearance, and so, because there is no prasadam, and because today is a weekend, we'll carry on for the next half an hour. And hopefully we can cover a few more bits and pieces of his glories. And so, after he completed, well, actually, when he was in the process of fulfilling his vow, Srila Bhakti Vinod Thakur visited him. And he wanted to encourage him to preach. And Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati told him, "Preaching, what is the preaching? That Panchatattva, don't you see Panchatattva doing their kirtans in here? They are preaching. So what's the need of my preaching here? They're already doing the job. Don't you see that kirtan?" So by his chanting, by his absorptions, he already entered into the spiritual dimension of Navadvip. And he was actually taking part in Lord Chaitanya's pastimes like that. And so, anyway, Srila Gaura Kishore Das Babaji and Bhaktivinoda Thakur finally convinced him to step down from the Paramahamsa platform and assume the position of Madhyam Adhikari, which is required for preaching. And he became a very powerful preacher, and his preaching started with that very famous episode when he defeated caste brahmanas with a very famous speech, Brahmana and Vaishnava, that he gave. He gathered all these caste brahmanas, and he glorified brahmanas first by saying that, and you know, the scriptures are giving very amazing statements. For example, if you open the Manusmriti or Manusamhita, it says that brahmanas are the ones who inherited the world. This world belongs to brahmanas. Everything one wears, that belongs to brahmanas. Everything one eats, all the food belongs to brahmanas. Anything one is using, that's brahmanas' property. But brahmanas are so kind and benevolent that they allow others to use their property. So brahmanas are the masters of the world. Like that. And there are many scriptures who speak about the glories of the brahmanas. And of course, when Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati was glorifying them in this way, they became very enthused. Oh, finally, someone's recognizing our true position. And after that, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati shifted to the description of the qualities of brahmanas. And then, of course, those caste brahmanas, they became a little despondent after hearing that. because they couldn't identify with those qualities naturally. So that was the first blow on their false ego. And then Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati started describing Vaishnavas, that Vaishnavas are even higher than Brahmanas. So he completely smashed all their, false pride like that. So this was his first engagement in establishing Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mission. And of course, because he was so powerful, people wanted to become his disciples. And on the order of Srila Gaura Kishordas Babaji, he started accepting disciples already at that time. Even though he was very young, he was not even 30, and he was 29, and he accepted his first disciple. His name was Rohini Kumar Ghosh. He was a very sincere young man, but he had bad association with bowels, and so when he heard Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati's preaching for the first time, then at night he saw a dream that two bowels, husband and wife, they took form of tigers and they attacked him to eat him up. And then Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati appeared on the scene. He chased away those tigers and saved this man. And so he recognized that Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati is his guru and surrendered to him next morning. And Srila Gaura Kishordas Babaji was so happy with his only disciple that even though he never ever allowed anyone to touch his feet, but he placed both of his feet on the head of Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati and gave him full blessings for his mission. He told him, keep preaching and keep everything else on the side. And so he started preaching, and of course he had more disciples. And there were instances when Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati would give a class and so many, a huge crowd of people would come, and Gaura Kishordas Babaji would sit in the crowd listening to the class of his own disciple and admiring his preaching. And so there was so many other instances. He performed his first Navadvip Mandal Parikram when he was 38 years old. In 1913, he established his printing press in Calcutta, Brihat Mridanga, started preaching Chaitanya Charitamrita and Srimad Bhagavatam. And Bhaktivinoda Thakur passed away in 1914 on the June 22. And Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati continued his publication of Sajjana Toshini. And 1 year later, 1.5 years later, his guru passed away. And that was in November 17 of 1915. And many of you probably heard the story how everyone wanted the body of Gaura Kishordas Babaji to give him samadhi, but then Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati said, anyone can take the body of my guru to give him samadhi, but for that you have to be free from illicit sex. And so everyone stepped aside. And so Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati organized samadhi for him. And after that he felt separation from his father and his guru, and he was trying to understand what to do next. He was thinking, I have no support, no money, no manpower, no intelligence, what shall I do? And at that night he had a dream, and he saw the entire Panchatattva and all his associates, Jagannath Das Babaji, Bhaktivinoda Thakur, Guru Kishore Das Babaji, and all other previous acharyas told him that you should go on preaching. Everything will come, support people, and we give you blessings that no worldly hindrances can stop you. And then in 3 years later, when he turned 44, that was 1918, he accepted sannyas on the day of Gaur Purnima, and we all know that he just took it in front of the picture of his Guru Maharaj. And the reason he did that, to make sure that Vaishnavas are respected, because at the time there were many Babajis who were posing themselves as Vaishnavas, but too many Babajis who posed themselves as Vaishnavas but were not following any rules of Vaishnava lifestyle. And though then he decided to take up the order of sannyas to show the proper example. And from the years of 19 to 29, he was constantly traveling all over India, lecturing, debating, performing parikramas, and restoring holy places. And he toured everywhere in India, and during his pilgrimage he installed footprints of Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in 108 locations in India. And these were all the places Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu visited while doing his tour. And when he was doing his Navadvipa Mandal Parikrama, many times these caste brahmanas tried to stop him. At one point they agitated the crowd to throw bricks and stones at Navadvipa Mandal Parikrama, but still that Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati couldn't be stopped. In 1930, he organized the first dioramas for preaching. 2,000 people attended that function. And we know that in 1933, he had a very important meeting with Srila Prabhupada, and he encouraged him to preach. And there are many stories connected to his life. He recommended that devotees specially study a few books, Vaishnava books, such as Chaitanya Bhagavata by Vrindavan Das Thakur, Dasamula Shikha by Bhaktivinoda Thakur, Shri Krishna Bhajanamrita by Narahari Thakur, Prem Bhakti Chandrika by Narottam Das Thakur. Others say that he especially favored Prem Bhakti Chandrika Prarthana by Narottam Das Thakur and Upadishamrita by Rupa Goswami. Actually, it's interesting that many years back, when British government was making a research on the Hare Krishna movement, and they were considering which book represents the philosophy of Krishna consciousness the best, and so they came to the conclusion that it is Upadeshamrita, Nectar of Instruction. So the same book. Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati suggested to his disciples to read. And so we know his list of achievements, devotional achievements, is amazing. In his very short few years of preaching, very much like Srila Prabhupada, he established 64 temples, built 64 temples all over India, and initiated, anyone knows how many people he initiated? 50,000 disciples. And encouraged few of them, quite a few of them, to continue the legacy of preaching, and something which will be interesting to many devotees to know, that he told few of his female disciples to become initiating gurus. This was mentioned by one of the disciples who at least was still alive a few years ago, and he lives in Orissa, not far from the from Jagannath Puri, and my spiritual master met with him, and he was asking many details about Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, and then he told him, he was asking, what do you think about ladies becoming Diksha Gurus? And he said, sure, my Guru Maharaj had few disciples who later became, on his encouragement, who later took up Diksha functions. And before passing away, he gave a few important instructions, actually 46 important instructions prior to his passing away, and most important of them are: with the utmost enthusiasm preach the message of Rupa and Raghunath. Our ultimate goal is to become a speck of dust touching the lotus feet of the followers of Rupa Goswami. All of you remain united in allegiance to the spiritual master, Ashraya Vigraha, in order to satisfy the senses of the transcendental entity of non-dual knowledge. Do not give up the worship of Hari, even amidst hundreds of dangers, hundreds of insults, or hundreds of prosecutions. Something very relevant for some places like Russia, where in right now devotees undergoing very hard Prabhupada's marathon, because you know, our well-wishers, quote unquote, they organized a very serious defamation campaign on the TV, to which we have no access, and they using that to their advantage, and they showed a couple of programs, couple of so-called reports on us, how we destroy families and how we torture children and encourage murders and suicides and all kinds of nonsense like that. And so naturally, because public's opinion has been influenced in this way, they see us as dangerous cult, and so devotees are getting beaten while doing book distribution, and one devotee got tear gas sprayed in his face, and books are snatched away from their hands and torn apart, and things like that happening, and devotees arrested and have to spend like a night in police custody, etc. So, and I was saying that here you are very fortunate that you don't have any of this. Luckily, it's still a monarchy, even though constitutional monarchy, and so, as Prabhupada was saying, that this is the best type of governance, and so our movement has such wonderful advantages. Practically, there is no hindrances, there is no opposition, and so. But sometimes when there are no obstacles, then the tendency is there to become very complacent and think, oh, we've done that, we already achieved everything. But Russian devotees are getting special mercy from the Lord. In such a circumstances, they have nothing but to surrender, you know, completely. And continue. And so it's would be nice if everyone would remember about the sacrifices Russian devotees have to undergo and pray so that they would remain strong and victorious ultimately. I'm sure they will. They already achieved few victories, so every single opposition just makes them stronger and stronger. So that's why I'm saying that Krishna appears to have some special plan for Russian Yatra. But Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati could foresee it all, and so he was giving these instructions. Do not become unenthusiastic upon seeing that the majority of people in this world are not accepting the message of Krishna's sincere worship. I mean, it's given, right? People came here to the material world to forget about Krishna, and we are reminding them about Krishna. So naturally, they're not enthusiastic. It's not surprising, that's why. We're not surprised that someone is not interested in Krishna consciousness, but we become very surprised that someone still is interested, that we can find in this place of forgetfulness of Krishna someone who wants to know anything about Krishna. That's the real surprise. Never give up the glorification of the topics of Krishna. They are your own personal bhajan and your very all in all. Being humble like a blade of grass and tolerant like a tree, constantly glorify Hari. Hare Krishna. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur Maharaj Prabhupada Ki Jai. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Srila Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada Ki Jai. We have to make the distinction here because both of them are Prabhupadas. All right, so thank you all very much. Actually, I don't know what the further program will be, but one point is that the favorite bhajan of Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati was Sri Rupa Manjari Pada. And before his departure, he was requesting that this bhajan is sung for his meditation. And after he was placed into samadhi, and this, actually his departure happened, interestingly enough, in the morning, apparently on Brahma Muhurta, of the 1st January of 1937, so pretty much he finished his marathon and left this world. And one other amazing thing that one Prabhupada disciple, quite a well-known astrologer, Shyamasundar, not Prabhupada's secretary, but another Shyamasundar, he said that all these glorious achievements Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati had during his Saturn period, you know, his greatest heights of preaching happened in Saturn period. That if anyone knows a little bit of astrology, Saturn is considered to be like a very dangerous planet, but not for a devotee. At least not for a devotee like Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. And after his Saturn period ended and he entered into the next Mercury period, He just chose to leave this world. Actually, he was quite young. He was only 62 when he left this planet. And so this is very interesting that even something materially, these advantages can be very advantageous for someone who is a devotee. And this is very much in line with that verse we read in the beginning, that things that are very difficult to do become easy to execute if one somehow or other simply remembers Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So, by the Lord's mercy, even the difficulties become advantages for devotee. And, would be nice if today this bhajan is sang in the memory of Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. And there is something else I want to share with the devotees, being very careful. These are two pieces of cloth, very special, given to me by devotees. The top piece is the last chadar, piece of the last chadar worn by Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. And the bottom piece is the last bedsheet Srila Prabhupada was covered with after he went to the spiritual world. So, special Mahaprasad. I can pass it around and everyone can touch it to your foreheads, but please remember to give it back. Hare Krishna. And meanwhile, if anyone has any comments, questions,